Well, this morning I invite you to turn with me once again to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, as we continue what we began last week with this first chapter of Luke's gospel, considering verses 39 through 45. As you recall, we began with the first portion, the visit of Gabriel to Zechariah regarding the birth of John the Baptist, the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth. Then last Sunday evening, considering Gabriel's visit to Mary, foretelling of the birth of Jesus. At the end of that portion, we read, even Elizabeth, your relative, Gabriel said, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And then we pick up our consideration at verse 39 through 45. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." May God be pleased to add his blessing to the reading and consideration of his word this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes when we receive unbelievable, too good to be true news, we cannot help but to pinch ourselves to make sure that it's not a dream. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that a bit after this, Joseph, the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph in a dream, most likely a dream unlike any of us have ever enjoyed the experience of. But Mary, you see, was not dreaming. And it's clear that her professed faith did not fade away with Gabriel's exit. Her faith was real. And along with the amazing announcement, Gabriel gave Mary a sign. Elizabeth, your relative, the barren one is emphasized, the one whom everyone knows was barren, is 6 months pregnant. It almost seems as if Gabriel was giving Mary one of those subliminal messages to go and see Elizabeth. Go check it out. Go, that my word might be confirmed. And it appears that even before telling Joseph about Gabriel's visit to her, Mary wastes no time. She packs her bags for the possible 50 to 70 mile several day trip, and she goes. Again, a very simple story. And we're really not told here exactly why Mary went. We might think that she went in order to congratulate Elizabeth, which no doubt she did. Yet there's no evidence that that was the reason. The focus here is on Mary and on her child. And we can be sure, beloved, that the sign of Elizabeth, of a pregnant Elizabeth, was not meant to convince a doubting Mary of the truth of Gabriel's words, because as we have said before, she already believed. As we read a moment ago, or we didn't read, but as she says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said," and also as Elizabeth confirms in this portion before us this morning, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." A pregnant Elizabeth was indeed proof of the truth of Gabriel's word. But this visit was not in order to convince Mary, but with it Mary's honor is confirmed. God confirmed Mary's honor. Her favor, her honor of being called to give birth to the Son of God is confirmed by joy. Joy that was demonstrated in the very presence of God. And with this small portion of Scripture this morning, we have a sort of a dual picture before us. On the one side of that picture, we see the beginning of John's witness to Jesus, even as yet an unborn child. And the other side of that picture, we see the effect of the good news of Jesus on those who believe. And with this dual picture, Mary's honor was confirmed, first of all, by Elizabeth's unborn child, confirmed by this unborn child in Mary's presence. Now, we are not told anywhere in Scripture how soon the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary and conceive her child, but we have no reason to believe that it was not immediately. In fact, from Elizabeth's words, calling her the mother of my Lord, it appears that Mary was already carrying the Son of God, and therefore to be in Mary's presence was to be in the presence of the unborn Christ child. Now, it was fitting for Mary to visit Elizabeth. I mean, think about it. How could Mary explain to others the angel's visit and the angel's news? Who in their right mind would believe something so unbelievable, something so beyond human understanding, that is, except for one who experienced something similar? Elizabeth, I tend to believe, was really a gift to Mary, someone in whom she could confide, someone with whom she could rejoice in a particular way. And Elizabeth, we know, had also received a miracle. Elizabeth could rejoice with Mary unlike anyone else. But we need to understand that Elizabeth's joy was much more than being happy for Mary, much more than rejoicing for her simply because she was going to have a baby. But Elizabeth's joy was a deep joy because of what Mary's child would mean for her. Now, Mary's visit begins with a greeting to Elizabeth. We don't know what that greeting was. We don't know what Mary said. It would make sense that Mary told Elizabeth about Gabriel's visit and announcement, and we assume that she did. Yet, again, there's no evidence of that being a part of the greeting. Most likely, it was an ordinary greeting of that day, an ordinary salutation wishing Elizabeth well, an ordinary greeting that would focus on the one being greeted, namely Elizabeth, and not the one doing the greeting. In fact, Elizabeth seems to make it clear here that her knowledge and her understanding of Mary's blessed situation came not from what Mary said, but from the reaction of her unborn child to Mary's greeting. In verse 41, we are told that the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth herself, in verse 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Elizabeth's unborn child leaped for joy. Now, of course, it's not at all uncommon, we know, for a six-month-old unborn child to move in its mother's womb and to even move aggressively, maybe even by some sort of outward stimulation, like music, for example. Yet, this movement of Elizabeth's baby, this movement was not the child's reaction stimulated, for example, by the excitement of his mother as seeing her long-lost relative. The movement of this child was not an ordinary movement. It was an extraordinary movement. In fact, Elizabeth interprets it as being leaping for joy. She interprets that the child was filled with joy. Now, we have no way of knowing what that means as far as the unborn child's cognizance or understanding of the situation or how that child was feeling inside of its mother's womb, but we do know. We do know this was a fulfillment of verse 15, where Gabriel tells Zechariah of John that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth, as the NIV says, or as other translations say, from his mother's womb, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This unborn child gave a sign to his mother of whose forerunner, of whose preparer he was to be, as Zechariah was told here. We see the beginning of John's work, as verse 17 says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And it begins with his own mother. It begins with Elizabeth. What a glorious sign, beloved. What a glorious illustration that God works through the means of men, even as Paul says, through the foolishness of the message preached, to bring a knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ, and by which the Holy Spirit gathers his church. And Elizabeth herself, we are told in verse 41, was filled with the Holy Spirit to understand this leaping. And to understand that she was in the very presence of her Messiah, though he was still in Mary's womb. Ah, dear people of God, what a glorious picture of the blessing of the Holy Spirit to those for whom Jesus came. The Holy Spirit is the gift of Jesus Christ given here even before he was born. The gift of Jesus Christ to those he came to save, by which they are brought to believe in him and to embrace his saving work. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have faith in him and trust in him alone for your salvation, it is only because you have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit has confirmed to your heart all that Christ has done and all that he has done for you, as Paul says as well, no one can say Jesus is Lord, and we might add, and believe it, except by the Holy Spirit. And as well, beloved, what a glorious picture of the unique joy that is found only in the presence of the Savior. The joy of hope. The joy of rescue from sin and death and hell. The joy of reconciliation with God, being brought back into favor with God. The joy of sonship. All of this that has replaced enmity with God. There's a lot of talk at this time of year in the midst of our world about joy, happiness, peace, goodwill. But it's only a temporary joy, only as long as I get what I want, or only as long as I am satisfied, only for a little while. But this joy, the joy that is found only in the presence of the Savior, is a joy that lasts, a joy that is everlasting. And what a wonderful confirmation to Mary of the truth of her honor and favor with God. Her honor and favor was Jesus himself. A wonderful confirmation also expressed, secondly, by Elizabeth's unquenchable words. Notice the effect of the Holy Spirit and being in the presence of the Lord on Elizabeth. She could not contain her joy. She could not contain her words. She could not help but to speak glorious words. And here we see that she speaks glorious words of inspiration, inspired. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth speaks the Word of God as she was illumined by God. In essence, she was echoing what Gabriel had said to Mary when Gabriel said, "You are highly favored." Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you." Confirming that Mary's was the blessed estate announced by Gabriel, confirming the identity of her child, confirming that he would surely accomplish all the Lord's angel had said to her. Oh, beloved, we too, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not in the way the biblical writers were inspired. That's not what we're talking about. But Jesus had told his disciples when he sent them out, he said, don't be afraid about what you're going to say. Don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And when God's people are speaking on his behalf, the Holy Spirit of God inspires us. He gives us the truth to say, the truth to share, the truth of that hope in Christ alone. The truth of God's blessing. Even as Elizabeth utters unquenchable words of blessing, blessing for Mary, blessing. She was blessed among women, verse 42. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Only to women did God give the blessing and the task of bearing children, if he so chooses. But Mary was blessed beyond all women. She was the most blessed of all women. Her blessing was unique because it was not just an ordinary man that she would give birth to, but the God-man who was the reason that Mary was blessed. She was blessed not because of her worthiness or her value or her ability. She was blessed not because she was better than any other woman who had lived, who lived at that time, or who would live. She was blessed not because she was the most best for this task, but she was blessed simply because of the fruit of her womb, he was her blessing. She was blessed by God to be a blessing, as she would bring forth the one who would be a blessing to the world, to Mary too. One whom she herself would believe, one by whom she herself would be saved. And we too, beloved, are blessed only in and because of Jesus Christ, apart from whom there is only the curse of sin. And beloved, we have been blessed by God in Christ Jesus to be a blessing. Again, to be a blessing to others. To share the good news of Jesus Christ, to give a reason for the hope that is in us, to live that truth joyfully in our lives. And Elizabeth makes clear that Mary was blessed because she believed. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. True happiness consists in believing the Word of God. Boys and girls, true happiness does not consist in Christmas gifts, does not consist in family gatherings, in feasts, in Christmas goodies. As wonderful as all of those things may be, those may provide a temporary happiness, but true and lasting happiness consists only in believing the Word of God by faith. That gives a happiness that we cannot begin to understand, a joy inexpressible and full of glory, as Scripture says. Mary, by grace, embraced in her heart the promise of God, proof that she came to Elizabeth not with a skeptical, doubtful attitude, but to confirm with joy what had been announced to her. As Elizabeth also speaks unquenchable words of humility, verse 43. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth says. Now, Elizabeth enjoyed religious status in her day. She was the wife of a priest. She was older and wiser than Mary. Elizabeth, in many ways, as a daughter of Israel, she would have been the logical choice, don't you think, to be the one called upon to give birth to the Messiah? And imagine what kind of a miracle that will be. She was past the childbearing years, and for her then to give birth to the Messiah, wouldn't that be something? She would be the logical choice, right? That's not how she saw it. She was humbled that Mary came to her. Humbled not because of Mary herself, but she was humbled to be in the presence of her Lord, of whom she knew she was not worthy. And she rejoiced to witness the word and the work of the Lord through his chosen vessel. And she gives glory to him, not to Mary, as she adores Christ the Lord. And beloved, we too are called to be filled with humility as we recognize the blessing of God in Christ Jesus for us, recognizing very, very clearly just how unworthy we are. That we are not worthy that God should set his love on us, but he has. And therefore to rejoice as we too witness the word and the work of the Lord, however he may choose to accomplish that work. Understanding the truth of this Savior, as Elizabeth also speaks unquenchable words of understanding, proof of her faith. She calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Illumined by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth understood that Mary carried the long-awaited, the long-anticipated Messiah in her womb, and she understood his identity was that he was God himself come in the flesh. She understood, as we are called upon to understand, the truth of the kind of Savior we need. Man sinned, therefore man must pay for his sin. But he had to be perfect, he had to be righteous, and therefore he had to be God. Because only God himself could bear the wrath and punishment of God against our sin. He needed to be the God-man, God himself, come in the flesh. If you think about it, this is the first time we have recorded a confession of both the deity and the humanity of Christ. Indeed, Paul talks about, as we read earlier in the service, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman. The Apostle John later on writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in his second epistle, John speaks out against those who reject the humanity of Jesus Christ and tells believers, don't even allow them into your house. Have nothing to do with them because this is so crucial. This is the Savior we need. He must be the God-man. And beloved, if this was Elizabeth's description of the baby in Mary's womb, she calls him my Lord. How much more should we glorify the Christ who has died for us, who rose again and lives forevermore to intercede for us? That's our blessed assurance, as Elizabeth also speaks unquenchable words of assurance. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Now that word that is translated in the NIV, which I am using, the NIV that, can also be translated, as I'm sure it is in some of your translations, as either for or because. And therefore the verse, and now it says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It would then read, blessed is she who has believed, comma, for or because what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It can refer either to the reason why Mary is blessed, because what she believed will certainly come true, or as the NIV puts it, it can give the content of what she believed. Now the Bible versions and the commentators are split on this. Yet the truth is, beloved, either way, the other understanding is included. And either way, Elizabeth prophesies the certainty that all that Gabriel said to Mary of this child will come to pass, that God is going to fulfill it, that she will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Elizabeth prophesies the certainty of that. And later on in the temple, when Mary and Joseph present their child in Luke chapter 2, Simeon prophesies that he is salvation. The prophetess Anna says he is redemption. And we have the assurance, beloved, that all of this has been accomplished. Mary's favor, the truth and the certainty of her child was confirmed. Not only did God speak through his heavenly messenger Gabriel, but he revealed it to man through Elizabeth and through her unborn child, and confirmed it to Mary through the joy and the gladness and the testimony of Elizabeth. Beloved, still today, we have the Word of God. We have the entire canon of Scripture, the completed canon of Scripture. We have the Word of God as well. We have the Word of God visibly as our Lord left it, the Lord's table, the baptismal font. And this Word of God, preached and visibly speaking, is proof to us that what the Lord said to Mary has been accomplished. Confirmation to us of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And Elizabeth and her unborn child are a beautiful illustration to us of the joy of salvation that Jesus Christ alone brings. The joy of the Lord given to those who believe by grace through faith. Because true faith, beloved, comes with confidence in the certainty of the object of faith, in the certainty of Jesus Christ and his work, and the joy that is given to us through faith, the joy that we belong to him, the joy that all of our sins are forgiven, the joy that we are made forever right with God, the joy that we have everlasting salvation, and therefore the joy that brings us even as we travel this world. A joy that allows us to be content with whatever our lot in life. The joy that is given to us through faith is a confirmation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, who applies and confirms the saving work of Jesus to our hearts. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, that joy is not ours. In fact, that joy does not exist. And for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who say, I want nothing to do with him, instead of that everlasting joy, they will only know the eternal torment and the terror of the horror of hell. But for those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and that is our prayer even during this season, isn't it? That outside of all the commercialism that takes place, that indeed the true message of our Savior's birth would go forth, that many, by God's grace, would come to have this joy. And this joy that is ours by faith, beloved, is a confirmation that the call to repent of one's sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not given in vain. It does not come with an uncertain hope. Boys and girls, if you wrote a Christmas list for your parents to consider, that list is uncertain. There's no guarantee that you will receive anything that's on that list. You might receive a gift or two or three, but there's no certainty that you will actually receive anything on that list that you prepare. But that's not true with the call to repent of sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When that call goes forth, it is not in vain. God does not come back and say, "Just kidding, didn't mean it." That call does not come with an uncertain hope, but it is certain for all who look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Him all of our sin is forgiven and all hope is ours. These really belong to those who have faith in Christ Jesus, who trust Him alone to be made right with God. We are not dreaming. We have no need to pinch ourselves, because the benefits of Christ are just as real as this pulpit. They are just as real as that communion table, just as real as the baptismal font, just as real as this building we're sitting in, just as real as you are here and I am here and we are looking at each other right now. It is real. Elizabeth could not contain or quench her joy. And beloved, that is true for those who understand the desperate condition and the pit of hell from which we have been delivered, and who understand the eternal joy that is our new possession. Oh, beloved, may we live that joy. May we recall that joy each and every day of our lives, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night. May that joy be so very visible that others cannot help but to ask us to give a reason for the hope, for the joy that is in us. You see, we love to tell good news, don't we? Well, there is no good news greater than the good news of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together.